This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
And I got to tell you, Chris, I continue to hear Aaron Boone. And again, I don't necessarily blame him for the ailments with the Yankees right now. But listening to him with, you know what, we have some good things. And, you know, Glaber is starting to hit and the bullpen's been good and blah, 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 blah. You're losing games. You were expected to win 100 plus games and you're basically 560 games into the season. Spare me with the how good things look, even though we lost the game last night again.
Exactly, Dave. Just don't tell me about the pains. Just show me the baby. At this point, I don't want to hear about the reasons why the team hadn't been able to play up to expectations. I don't want to hear about all of the good things that are happening behind the scenes. Like, if you're doing good things behind the scenes, that should translate to being able to have success when everybody else is watching. And right now, that's not what this Yankees team is doing. And we continue to see the same mistakes, the same sloppy baseball, the fundamental errors from this team. Like, there are things that are happening out there that should not be happening. Like, what Clint Frazier did in the eighth inning should not happen. Being thrown out on the bases should not happen. Being thrown out at home should not happen, Dave. All of the fielding errors, those mistakes should not happen. Not if you're a good baseball team. But if you're a mediocre team or if you're a bad baseball team, those type of plays are routine.
But there you have it. Chris, you just said exactly the point. Not if you're a good baseball team. You can't argue. They're not a good baseball team. Right? The Yankees are not good now.
No, they're not a good baseball team, Dave, and they have the record to prove it. They're two games over 500 right now, and we're a third of the way through the season. At this point, you are what you are. Now, I'm not saying that they're incapable of going on a run because this is still a team when everybody's healthy that has a lot of talent. But I just don't foresee them being able to put that all together, Dave, because that would mean that I would have to ignore what I saw in the first third of the season, which is a team that doesn't necessarily have the kind of focus and attention and detail that it takes to be able to beat teams like the Tampa Bay Rays, like the Boston Red Sox, to consistently best those teams that do all the little things well.
So to start the season, we did our baseball predictions, which for some reason Rick was so upset by. But he's not here today, so we can revisit. You took the Yankees to win this division.
Mm-hmm.
It's June 7th. Would you like to change?
I mean, yeah, obviously, Dave, I would change. I mean, we've got new evidence now. We've got more data points. And based on what I've seen, I don't know how you couldn't take the Tampa Bay Rays to win this division. I mean, the only other reason would be you think the Boston Red Sox are the team that could potentially catch them. But you're not picking – if you're not picking the Rays, it's not because you think the Yankees are going to be able to climb out of what they're in right now and be able to catch Tampa. There's no way you could say that. There's no way you could have confidence that they're going to do that.
Let me go one further. Do you think the Yankee, if I said top two in this division or three or worse, where would you go?
See, I still think they have a chance to be able to be the second place team in this division. I mean, they've got a chance to win the division, to be honest with you, Dave. There's a ton of baseball left to be played, but just as we've seen things play out so far this year, like Tampa's a good baseball team, Dave. These Tampa Bay Rays, they always find a way to be able to figure it out. Like, they make moves here and there, and they got guys that come out of nowhere seemingly and become contributors, become big parts of what they're doing. Like, Tampa is just one of those. From an organization standpoint, them being where they're at 6.5 games ahead of the Yankees, I don't see the Yankees being able to catch them. I mean, the Yankees have to start playing a lot better, and Tampa would have to have some kind of collapse. Now, do I think they can catch Boston? Yeah. Because, I mean, there's still a lot of games that they have left to play with Boston. What, they've played, what, three games out of the 19 they're scheduled to play Boston? So, yeah, there's still a chance to make up a lot of ground with Boston. I think they only see the Rays two more times this year.
That's it.
So, I mean,
they have 16 more games against the Red Sox this season.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I feel like there's a chance for them to still be the second-place team in this division. But I don't have any confidence that they're going to win the division.
DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. Let's throw it out there to the listeners. 800-919-3776. Do you have any confidence that your New York Yankees, who you had the utmost confidence in to start the season, would win the division? Do you still believe that at this very moment? I honestly, I don't know how you could. 800-919-3776. 76. Let's go to Billy in Staten Island. Good morning, Bill. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. I'm just really annoyed with the Mets to this point right now.
With the Mets?
I mean, I just feel like they don't put if you think about DeGrom and what he's been doing for the Mets the last couple of years, they just don't put any relievers around him. He should have a lot more wins. He should have this guy is hitting home runs. He's hitting.
But Billy, it's better this year. Like, this is a strange call to me that at this moment they scored four runs for him the other night. He's 5-2 this year. Yeah, in the past when he's winning a Cy Young with 11 wins or whatever it is a couple years ago, I think that was a fair point when Diaz is blowing saves and the bullpen was so awful. But I don't feel like that at the moment that this is the same Mets at all.
I just feel like they need more of a top five reliever. They need someone to take a little bit. I mean, having Seth Lugo come back and, you know, I don't trust the Mets when it comes to not really giving this, you know, a lot less stress when it comes to the relievers. And I think they
I don't know what you're looking for, to be honest, Billy. I mean,
Diaz
has been really good. He's blown one game. Trevor May, I don't love, but he's an upgrade. Castro's a nice piece of that bullpen. Now you get Lugo back. Yeah. If you would have called 3 years ago, I think that we would all jump on that and say, what a disaster this bullpen has been and what a terrible job they've done for DeGrom. But I don't feel like that at all, Chris.
No, I don't feel that way about the bullpen either, Dave. I mean, the pitching staff as a whole has been really good for the Mets. I mean, they're the reason why this team is five games over 500. Like, they're the reason why this – or six games now. They're the reason why this team is in position that they're in right now. Their offense is still a work in progress. They're still trying to figure it out. But they do have enough talent that you trust that they're going to be able to do that. But this pitching staff has been good. Like, you can't look at the bullpen and say, oh, the bullpen is there. That hasn't been the case. Like, Diaz has been good.
Yeah.
Lugo.
Really good.
Lugo's probably the reliever that I trust the most that's in that bullpen.
Lupa's been good. I mean, Trevor May you don't love, but I don't understand. I think that call is – to have that call today seems kind of misplaced to me.
Yeah,
let's go to Julius in the car. Good morning, Julius.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Julius.
I called the Michael K show when they let Didi go, and Michael sounded like he was this guy that knew everything about baseball. And I told him letting Didi go was going to be a problem. And listening to Alex Rodriguez talk about it last night, I feel vindicated that this guy was their best defender, and now with Torres, this guy can't stop anything. He's costing them game every time he plays, every time he's in the lineup. And I mean, I'm a Yankee fan. I'm sick of it. I don't really know what to do. I'm pissed off, I should say. What can we do now to change the season? What can we do?
Well, I know there was some talk a few weeks ago that Brian Cashman could potentially make a move at the deadline just to kind of shake things up a little bit to, you know, kind of ratchet up the sense of urgency. I know Trevor Story's name popped up, seeing if he could potentially be available and putting him at shortstop. I don't know what the answer is, but right now, Gleyber Torres defensively isn't a great shortstop. He's not.
I don't think there is any magic elixir, Chris. I really
don't. There's probably no silver bullet that gets the job done, Dave.
No. I mean, Trevor Story is on the IL. I don't know when he's coming back. I don't think there's this quick fix of you just bring this guy in. I mean, look at the bottom of the lineup. Chris, the bottom of the lineup, which has been so good for the Yankees for such a long time, is brutal right now.
Yeah, it ain't great, Dave. It's not great right now. And, it's just in these types of situations, you're looking for the best players to kind of carry your lineup until you can figure out who are the guys at the bottom of your lineup that can contribute until you get some other guys back healthy. Like, hopefully at some point you get Luke Voit back and that changes your lineup. That gives it a little more length. But, I mean, right now you need your best players to be your best players.
You need LeMahieu to be better.
He's killing you right now, Dave. He's killing you right now. Man, Stanton being in and out of the lineup or pinch hitting in the lineup is absolutely ridiculous. That doesn't help things. I mean, you've got to find – those guys have got to be there, and they've got to be able to contribute. And right now they're not doing that. So we'll see how things play out. But, I mean, this Yankees team right now is not in a good place. It's not. And I don't know how they get things fixed. They're really, really bad offensively, and I would have never thought that they would be capable of being this horrendous when it comes to that aspect of their game.
Well, the Twins has been the saving grace for the Yankees over the last couple of years. We'll see if that continues tomorrow night in Minnesota. Anthony in Holbrook. Good morning, Anthony.
What's going on, boys? How we doing this morning?
We're doing well. We're doing well, I think that it's fair to say.
Good. I just heard you quickly touch on it, saying, you know, with the standings and if anyone would change their opinion going in. I don't understand, and I'm not saying you, but I don't understand why any Yankee fan would have been overly optimistic going into this season. There's so many question marks from top to bottom. If you go through the pitching rotation, Kluber coming back from, you know, being hurt, question mark.
But Anthony, the pitching has been good. The starting pitching has been the strength of the team.
I'm just saying in general, you don't know what Severino was going to give you. And then you go through the lineup, Sanchez, question mark. Judge is always injured. Stan's always injured. Hicks and Gardner, you have no idea what you're going to get out of them. You have no idea what you're getting out of Voit. Question mark at shortstop with Torres. He's terrible defensively. I love him. I think he's going to be great. But he is not a major league shortstop defensively. He can't get it done. Defensively, you know what you're getting out of Sanchez. Not good. So, you know, it's just from top to bottom, they're not a very good, like, baseball team if you're looking at it from a whole because of all the question marks. So I don't understand. Like, you look at the race.
You're going to tell me that this Yankees team had more question marks than other teams in this division heading into the season?
I would say you could put it up there, yeah.
No way.
What have they given you over the past 2 to 3 years? From a playing a game standpoint, Judge, from besides his first 2 years, Judge, he's been hurt significantly every season.
He's like the one guy, Anthony, that's been really good this year.
I get that completely, but I'm saying going into this season, he was a question mark.
So you were worried about the Yankees offensively heading into this year?
No, I was worried about them staying healthy, not producing. When they are healthy, I was worried about them staying healthy.
Well, you know what?
Not staying healthy. Voit,
I mean, listen, Aaron Hicks is not some huge loss. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah, you miss Voit. And Stanton, as always, spends time on the IL. But come on, you didn't expect LeMahieu to do this.
No.
Torres has been dormant for the better part of the season. On the Yankees offensively, everyone loved what Clint Frazier was going to potentially do. And Duhar, right? There's no way Gary Sanchez you thought would be a little better, or Shella. There's no way anybody thought the Yankees offense would be this bad.
Yeah, Dave, nobody predicted that the Yankees offense would be this bad. Nobody saw the Yankees in this spot. Like, I get it. There were a lot of questions about guys being able to stay healthy coming into this season. But just based on the expectations, like, the Yankees are underachieving based on what everybody around the sport of baseball thought they would be. I just pulled up the PECOTA rankings coming into this year, Dave, and the Yankees were projected to have 97 wins and an 81% chance to win the division, Dave. 81%!
Does PECOTA upgrade as the season goes on? I wonder if it does.
I'm curious to see.
I'd love to know what the adjusted PECOTA rankings would be today on June the 7th, because there's no way it's 97 and there's no way it's 81%.
No chance. No shot, Dave. No shot. But I'm just saying that just goes to show you what people thought about the Yankees coming into this season. It's not like we were the only ones out there on that limb by ourselves.
No, Vegas had them as the second favorite to win the World Series, and they were the heavy favorites to come out of the American League. So stop it with I thought that this was going to be a struggle this year. Ridiculous.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
So Raymond Santiago, who, Chris, I don't know if you feel like this, could very well be Wally Pipping RJ Santillo on the show today.
Yeah, he deserves the number one star, Dave. I know he's responsible for issuing the stars, but I feel like we should nominate him for the number one star today because he's doing yeoman's work.
I don't disagree, but can the man that gives the stars out give himself a star?
I'll get out right in front of this now and say no. It's not in my power. I will never give myself a star on this show.
You won't do it.
But if we're nominating him and then Ty D. Butler agrees with us, then why can't we give him the number one star?
I guess we could, but he's too humble.
If you guys want to do that, that's on you.
If I was giving stars, I would probably consistently give myself the number one star. But I don't,
of course, because you're that guy.
That's not who Ray Santiago is. No, I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah. But I do believe that he deserves to have the number one star today.
At a minimum, I think he's worthy of a star. But I know him well. We've worked together for a very long time. I don't think he'll give himself a star today. We'll find out. Find out at like 7:57.
We shall. But he better make sure that he does give himself a star. That has to happen.
I don't think he will. Ty, by the way, what does the D stand for? I mean, Ty D Butler.
I'm going to assume that it's probably the middle name that he's going to give his son.
Domination.
Wow. Okay, never mind.
Is it Donovan?
It's Donovan.
Yeah.
You should know this. I spent a lot of time with you, Dave, and you don't know my middle name.
But I wanted clarification. I know that you're going to name your newborn son, who's coming weeks away, Noah Donovan, but I didn't know that the D that you had representing was also for Donovan.
Whoa, but you can't put two and
that's
two together?
That's what I did.
You can't put two and two together, my friend?
Well, I didn't know.
One of your main attractions is that you're brilliant, right?
You're very bright.
And that's something you can't put together. I know you struggle with remote controls. But that seems pretty obvious.
Remote was always something I was so capable and competent with, too. But I guess that's kind of literally out the window, as I've done with the remote control test. But I don't understand. There's no way that you just 100% knew that D was for Donovan.
Yes, Dave. When he said the name on the Saturday show, and then I thought about Ty D Butler, I was like, yeah, okay, it's probably the same middle name that he has. That's exactly where my mind jumped.
Okay, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, D, it could be Derek, it could be Dave.
Well, Dave, if you had to have a guess, if you're using an educated guess and you know that Ty's son's middle name is going to be Donovan and you know that Ty's middle initial is D, what's the first D name that you would think of? It would be Donovan.
Well, for Ty, the first D name that I think of may not be Donovan. But, you know, why not just go junior with this kid then? Why not go Why not go Ty D. Butler Jr.?
Well, wifey was opposed.
Wifey.
I know how much you love that term of endearment.
So did you push for Junior?
I did.
Uh-huh.
And she was reluctant to do it, but I told her straight up. I said, you were allowed to pick the name of our first child. The second one is on me. If we have a boy, I'm going Junior. I've got to have one junior.
But doesn't that – yeah. Can you go Junior with the second, though?
She made the same point.
Yeah, but I don't think you can go junior with the second kid.
Yeah, but who's to say we got to follow along those rules? We can do our own thing.
And by the way, you think that she's going to let you name the second? There is no way. No way.
That's the part that I'm laughing about, Dave, because I'm right there with you.
Right, it's like you got married last week. Like, no, no, I'll be naming the second. All right, sweetheart,
yeah,
sure you will.
You think whatever you want,
you'll be naming the second.
You keep
that's adorable.
That
I don't know what y'all got going on in your household. I got some pull in mine.
Oh, okay. Wow, here we go, Dave.
I keep up attitudes like that. All right, so because Raymond has been so good today, and I said, I wonder if Pacoda updates their standings as the season goes on. Raymond does yeoman's work, Chris, and he gets to the internet and he finds the updated Pacoda standings of what the expectations will be as of yesterday. So the Yankees have, 31 wins through 60 games, right?
That is correct.
What do you think the expectation for the Yankees to finish with from Pacoda is right now?
Okay, so they came into the season with an 97 wins and an 81% chance of winning the division. So yes. We're going just win total right now? Are we doing the win total, Dave?
Yeah, the sim total for the Yankees right now.
I'm going to say wins, they're somewhere around 85, 86 wins.
93 still.
Are you serious?
Yes.
How is that even possible?
I have no, and the Tampa's only 94.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That doesn't make any sense to me. Huh. Okay. What are their chances of winning the division? Do we know?
Yes, I do have that as well, thanks to Raymond.
Okay.
36% chance to win the division. So 97 goes to 93, which it seems too much to me. 81% goes down to 36%, which seems appropriate.
Exactly. That's the thing that I don't understand, Dave. Like, if you're saying that their chances of winning the division go down that dramatically, yet they're still over 90 wins, I'm trying to I'm trying to square that circle. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't to me either. Because they're still saying that they're going to be within a game of Tampa at the end of the season. These Pecota rankings never really add up to me. It has the Yankees, Chris. Well, let's see. What's 36-43? That's 77. That's 44% really. So it's 80% that they still think the Yankees will go to the postseason.
That's crazy, Dave.
Right?
It doesn't feel like that right now with the way that this team is
playing. No, it doesn't.
Like, they're going to have to go on a hell of a run, Dave, at some point in order to be able to make up that much ground and to actually accomplish what Pecota is saying that they should do.
How about Baltimore? 0.0 to win the division, 0.0 to be a wild card team. But Boston is surprising to me because they're at 86 with their win total, division percentage 7%, wild card percentage 23%. What do you think the Mets are at?
Let's see. The Mets came into the season. I think Pecota really liked them. They came into the season with the expectation that they would win the division and they would be around 90, 91, 92 wins. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say the Mets are still going to be around there. I'm going to say 90. I'm going to go 92 wins, Dave.
Yeah, they have 89 for the Mets.
Okay.
But how about this? The Mets to win the division is 68%.
That actually went down, Dave. That's interesting because I'm sitting here looking at the preseason Pecota rankings, uh-huh. and the Mets' chances of winning the division were 77%. So that's interesting that it went down.
I can never make rhyme or reason with this, but you know what? I don't know if they'll be right, but you have the preseason. What were the Braves? Because remember we scoffed at the Braves.
We did scoff at the Braves, and we scoffed at what Pecota had them projected, Dave. Right. And I think Pecota might have been right on. Pecota had the Braves as an 82-win team and a 5% chance of winning the division.
Which was shocking. We laughed at it. So they're below 500 at 28 and 29. It has them now as an 80-win team with a 7% chance to win the division and a 5% chance to be the wild card. So the Braves have a just shy of 13% chance to get into the postseason. Mets are 77%+ because they have a 10% chance to get into the wild card. So I don't know. You can make these numbers whatever you want, but Mets, they love the Mets' chances, and Pecota really believes, Chris, right or wrong, that the Yankees will find themselves back into this American League East race.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nets and what's on the horizon for them? I got to tell you, if Harden doesn't play the remainder of the postseason, and I don't feel overly confident that he will, I think the Nets are just another one of these. They're just another one of the good teams that has a chance to win. They go from that dominant looking club, Chris, to they have a chance, but they're right there with Milwaukee and Utah and Phoenix and the Clippers, and they really drop back to the pack if he's going to miss extended time.
So let me ask you this question, Dave. In your mind, does it make it more interesting from here on out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So there's more reason for you to tune in and watch what happens in the playoffs.
100%.
Okay.
I don't know how anybody beats them. If they're fully healthy and functioning on all cylinders, I don't know how anybody beats them moving forward. But it appears that that will not be the case. And yes, that to me is more intriguing.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm going to agree with you on that one. I mean, with the big three for Brooklyn healthy, I mean, just the level that they were capable of playing at when all three of them were clicking, when all three of them go off, like it's unlike anything we've ever seen. I mean, I remember a game against the Boston Celtics where the big three went for 104 of the Nets' 141 points.
It's crazy.
Like, you just think about that. Three guys on the team scoring 104 points. Like, that's how good they are. So, I mean, yeah, I think now without James Harden, if he's going to miss extended time, if he's not available for the rest of the postseason, then, yeah, I think that makes them that makes them a team that's beatable in a seven-game series.
Eminently beatable. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. And all guests on the show appear via the Goodyear Hotline, 800-919-3776. Let's go to Daryl in the car. He's been waiting for a very long time and patiently at that. Good morning, Daryl. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was waiting a long time. I want to get to the Knicks. And
in another way, because I'm watching the game last night. I know guys are watching the Philly-Atlanta game. So as a Knicks fan, you really shouldn't feel too bad on the loss we took, even though Randle could have played better and so forth, and everybody had things they could have did better. But I'm watching Atlanta. They're really good. Trey Young is amazing. The bench all score. Everyone produces. Collins, Herter. I mean, like, I feel like I got a history with these guys watching them beat up on. But we shouldn't feel bad with them, man. And Philly was the number one seed.
Well, you say they were the number one seed, like they're done and out of the postseason, Daryl. No, it was one game, no. And you saw it was tilting as the game got towards the latter stages. So, but I will agree with you, and thanks for the call, Chris. It did, and I don't know if this is appropriate or this is how you should feel. I did, watching the first half of that game yesterday, I was like, well, this makes me feel a little bit better. It did. It made me feel a little bit better.
And it should, Dave. I mean, it just shows you what the Hawks are capable of doing when they're playing at their best, which is beating a team on the road that had the best record in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs. Like, I mean, listen, man, Trae Young is a star. There's no two ways about it. Like, Trae Young is an emerging star in the NBA. And yesterday's game just goes to show you how important the point guard position is. Because Joel Embiid went off too, Dave. Joel Embiid had 39 points yesterday, and it didn't matter. It did not matter. Early on in the fourth quarter of that game, it was a blowout. Now, the Sixers did some things to close the gap, make it a little bit tighter at the end. But, I mean, it just goes to show you, man, when you have a guy at the point guard spot that's a bona fide star, that player is capable of controlling the tempo, the pace of the game, the complexion of the game, and making the game easier for his teammates. When you have that, you can get the most out of the talent that you have on your team, which is what Trae Young does for the Atlanta Hawks.
But DeAndre Hunter, who was so good against the Knicks, he didn't even play in the game yesterday.
No, he didn't play, Dave. But, I mean, John Collins played, and he stepped
played
up.
Really well.
Yeah, that's probably,
I gotta
his,
tell
best,
you, by the way,
it's probably his best game of the playoffs.
Yeah, he was terrific. Yeah. Bogdanovich, he's terrific.
I was sleeping on Bogdanovich, Dave. I didn't know that Bogdanovich was this good. Like, I knew he was good, which is why the Bucks were trying to go after him this offseason, but I didn't know he was this good.
Yeah, he's
a good
really,
player.
He's sensational. Let's go to Eric, Long Island. Eric, good morning. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Morning. How are you?
Good. What's going on, bud?
Nothing. So I'm a Yankee fan. You know, listen, sometimes you have a bad year, right? It happens. There are things on the team where, you know, you can fix in the offseason, but there's two things that I think long-term that could be a problem. You have a $30 million DH who needs every other day off, even though he strikes out, doesn't play the field, doesn't run. And we have him for long term. So that could be a problem, just having $30 million tied up to this guy. Also, if, and I hope this isn't the case, but if after this this pitching cheating thing gets cracked down, if Garrett Cole turns into a pumpkin, then you might have $60 million tied up in two players that you're going to have for like 8 years. And, you know, you can't erase those.
I can't imagine, Eric, that Garrett Cole all of a sudden is going to turn into a pumpkin. I would be stunned if that was the case. Stanton, I get it. He angers you. It's upsetting. It's frustrating. He plays. He doesn't play. He's like, even as a DH, he's in and out of the lineup every other day. But I would be stunned if Garrett Cole comes back to the pack and is an average pitcher moving forward.
Yeah, let's not forecast problems with our best player or one of our best players. Like, until it becomes an issue, you know, we don't need to. You don't need to have that conversation. You know,
you have
what I'm
enough
saying?
Real issues.
We have enough real problems. Exactly.
You don't need to make up problems. Let's go down to Florida and bring in Jeff in Delray Beach. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, fellas. Great show as always. You're the best in the business.
Well, we'll take it and we'll run with it. What do you got this morning?
Absolutely. Look, I'm a lifelong diehard Yankee fan, and I want to be as positive as I can be, but, you know, to me, this—I got to call it as I see it. This is a lifeless and flawed team, and it's not going to change anytime soon. And to me, it really started when they made the decision to part ways with DD. You know, DD did everything you could possibly imagine. He was the lifeblood of the clubhouse. He was clutch. He played a great shortstop. You didn't even think about Jeter, and that's remarkable. But then you make the decision not to bring him back, and you decide you're going to take this young kid, Torres, and put him out of position. That was a monumental disaster. Then, I mean, let's talk about it. You want to be strong up the middle. How long are you going to continue to hope and pray that Sanchez becomes what everyone wanted him to become? He is what he is, and he's not changing. Then you make a decision that you're going to extend and make the Yankee center fielder Aaron Hicks, 7 years, $70 million. All this guy does, he can't hit his way out of a paper bag. He's always injured. It's the same thing year after year. There's a reason why the Twins dumped him for a third-string catcher in J.R. Murphy. Then you try to hit lightning with a bottle with Kluber, who, okay, great, he had a no-hitter, but how do you expect the guy's not going to be injured after the past few years? And Taillon. The decisions that are being made.
I'm going to go through every single move that they've made over the last decade. We get it. I mean, they are a flawed team. But the thing that stands out to me is that offensively, they're so bad. Because you say Kluber and Taillon. Listen, Chris, their starting pitching has been good. Their bullpen has been phenomenal. It wasn't this weekend, but it has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. The thing that stuns me, and I still don't understand it, is the offense has been so bad through the first 60 games this year.
No, it has been bad, Dave. And that last caller started with them not re-signing Didi Gregorius, and he is outlining all the different reasons on the field that made sense. And to be honest with you, the biggest reason why I wanted Didi to come back and be a Yankee, Dave, was because of the intangibles that he has in the dugout and in the clubhouse. I just feel like in terms of what he means, being that energy guy around your team, bringing that enthusiasm, those are things that help your team, especially when you're going through the kind of funk that the Yankees are experiencing right about now. Like when you have, you know, a stretch where you lose four straight in 10 of the last 13, like you need guys that are bringing that energy to the ballpark every single day. And it doesn't feel like the Yankees have enough of those guys. The Yankees have talented guys. But who's the guy that's going to bring that enthusiasm, that kid-like mentality to the game every single day? You just don't have that. And so I'm a little bit concerned in terms of where the leadership of this team is right now. Because if you're banking on the manager being able to provide that leadership, Dave, that's only going to take you so far. And right now it feels like the Yankees are overly reliant on Aaron Boone trying to set the tone.
I have a question for you. I'll ask you right after this. Time for some straight talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, well, that's really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth kind of good. Okay, well, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good anyway. With straight talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight talk wireless, no contract, and no compromise. I can't imagine that you would say yes to this. Do the Yankees play smart baseball, Chris? Do you look at them and say this is a team that plays a fundamentally sound baseball?
No, Dave. There's no way you can look at them and say that, Dave. Not when you have 28 outs on the bases and you've been thrown out at home plate 12 times. You can't say that. How can you say that? With all of the mistakes that they make? No, they don't play smart baseball. They play sloppy baseball, Dave, and they don't have the kind of attention to detail that you would be looking for a team that expects to contend for a championship. I'm sorry. You see the Tampa Bay Rays do all the little things.
Oh, they do. And watching the Red Sox last night, listen, you can say Gabe Morales blew the game for you, the called strike three. It was a bad call. But the eighth inning was the perfect example. When was the last time, Chris, that the Yankees won a game, scratched a run across by a misplay that turns into they called it a double. It was embarrassing they called it a double. Let's say a two-base error, a ground ball to the right side, and a sack fly.
Yeah.
The Yankees don't win games like that.
No, the Yankees don't win games like that. They don't have productive outs. They don't move guys over. They don't do a good job of running from first to third. Dave, they don't – again, it comes back to the little things. They don't do those things well. But, Dave, we shouldn't be surprised because they weren't built to do those things well. They were built to hit home runs. They were built for extra base hits. And guess what? When you don't have those – your team's going to struggle to consistently score runs, and that's what we've seen from the Yankees the past 2 weeks.
It's gross. It really is. If I was a Yankees fan waking up this morning, I would be ill about what my team is putting out there every single day. Aaron Boone, after the game last night, still stands by that he has confidence in this offense, doesn't he?
I see the work they're putting in. I see the adjustments certain guys are making. You know, I feel like I'm seeing, especially with a number of guys, the quality of contact and the at-bat quality picking up, especially this, you know, last week where we're seeing some guys gain some traction. You know, now we got to get everyone involved, though, because, you know, for our lineup to be heavy, it's got to be one that wears you down, and that takes everyone doing a part.
What on earth is he talking about? Over the last week, he sees everything getting better. Chris, I'm so sick and tired of listening to Aaron Boone tell me, don't worry, and almost, for lack of a better term, being this Yankees apologist.
Well, Dave, this is in alignment with the organizational philosophy on how they want to handle their players. They don't want the manager to be tough on their guys. They don't want the manager to call those guys out. They don't want them to call them to the carpet. They don't want to do that. They want to love on the players. Remember that with Aaron Boone's introductory press conference? He said, we're going to love on these guys.
Oh, God.
Well, this is Aaron Boone loving on them while they're struggling.
It's repulsive.
I don't like it as a fan, because I feel like the team needs to have more urgency. And the manager's commentary needs to reflect the kind of tone that needs to be around this team in order to get the change that we're looking for. I don't think that Aaron Boone making excuses and saying that he sees a lot of good things is going to motivate the guys to all of a sudden get things turned around. I just don't feel that way.
Who do you think he sees good things from LeMahieu, who's down to 253 and was 0-for-5 and in a big spot last night, didn't come through? Torres has
been better. He's been better.
Okay.
Aaron Judge. Those would be the only two guys that I would point to, Dave.
I mean, Brett Gardner's hitting 190, Chris.
Yeah.
And he plays every day. Clint Frazier's hitting 185. Odor's hitting 185 or 180. I mean, these are averages which are horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, Andujar maybe, Dave, with what he's done at the plate.
Yeah.
He had a decent play defensively last night. But, I mean there aren't a lot of bright spots to point to on this team right now. There aren't. And the fact is, you're two games over 500, and you're, what, in fourth place in your division?
Yeah, you're behind Toronto, and you're well behind Boston and Tampa at this point. And by the way, KJZ, big start to the 8 o'clock hour. Lot of Nets, lot of Harden, lot of what does it mean for them moving forward. Jason in Jersey, you're next up on 98.7. What's up, Jay?
Hey, how are you guys? Cashman, he's got to get the finger pointed at him a little bit more. I feel bad for Boone. He doesn't even make a lot of money. And you know he's just a puppet at this point. We all know, even just listening to his interviews after, he's just struggling to even just stay positive. Do you guys agree?
No, I don't. I think that he's, for some unknown reason, he sounds very positive and very convinced that this is going to be fun. It doesn't sound like a struggle to me. This is what it sounds like he's always like.
I will say this. I do think this is more on Cashman than it is on Boone, but I don't think Boone is a hostage. He's complicit in what they're doing. Like, this team underachieving right now, Aaron Boone has a hand in it, just like Brian Cashman does. I think the two are joined at the hip. To try to say that this is not on Aaron Boone and he has no choice and this is all on Brian, like, they're working together. The problem is what they're trying to do isn't working. And I don't know how they get this thing pointed in the right direction based on what we've seen through the first third of the season.
They have to start hitting the baseball. That's what it is. Because their starting pitching has been good. Their bullpen has been good. They have to start hitting the baseball. Chris, they allowed a 3-run homer on Friday, right? Devers hit that monster shot.
Yep.
Goes out of the park. Before you batted, my thought is, well, they're in monster trouble. Because I don't know that the Yankees can score 4 runs. And you know what? I was right. They can't. They can't put 4 runs on the board. So to sit here and tell me that, oh, it's starting to get better and I see these better approaches and the quality at-bats, is just, it's an inane comment at this point.
Yeah, Dave, coming into this weekend, I want to say the Yankees had what? It was 11 or 12 straight games where they had 5 runs scored or less.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're challenged in terms of being able to manufacture runs, especially when they're not hitting home runs. But, Dave, here's the thing. You're talking about they got to start hitting the baseball. I get where you're coming from, but I mean, if they're not hitting home runs, they're not putting the ball in play. They're just not. I don't know that you when you have this kind of talent, this collection of talent that's built to hit home runs. I don't know that all of a sudden you can change
your philosophy
and what you're doing on the offensive end to try to adjust and find ways to be able to manufacture runs. I don't know that they can do that on the fly. I don't. Now, maybe they can. Maybe they can. And according to Pecota, you know, they're expecting them to. I mean, as a Yankees fan, I don't have any degree of confidence that they will.
Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Good morning, Ira.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Chris. I just want to get this real quick in with you guys. This Julio Jones trade. I'll tell you, the AFC continues to get better and better.
Now, well, would you say, Ira, would you say the AFC is loaded?
Oh, it's beyond loaded. Uh-huh. It's like an all-star conference. And you know, with now you got Henry, you got Brown, you got Julio Jones. If Vrabel could straighten out the defense, you know, listen, they're not the Bills, they're not the Chiefs, but you know what? Any given Sunday, the Titans, you know, on paper, it sure looks like they're going to be serious contenders and can do damage in the playoffs. And man, oh man, it just this AFC gets tougher and tougher and tougher.
You know what, Ira? We say they're not the Bills and we say they're not the Chiefs, but I mean, at the same time, I don't see those defenses being able to stop the Titans. Like, I just don't see it. I mean, I would look at the Titans' offense and say, you know, from a defensive standpoint, it's going to be hard to scheme up X's and O's to be able to slow down that group. It just is. Because they can run the football, Dave, and they got a running back that knows the value of a four-yard run. And they got receivers that can be game breakers. I'm just saying that offense is capable of playing a ball control style, which will in turn neutralize or mitigate some of the things that you can see from those special offenses like the Chiefs offense, like the Bills offense.
Yeah, because you know that they can run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
Anytime and their offensive line is really good, but anytime they want to pick up 3-4 yards of Derrick Henry, done. Now when you start to run play action and have Julio Jones added to the mix, it is terrifying. And think about the AFC. Dolphins are going to be better.
Yep.
Right? Patriots, you have to think, are going to be better. Chargers are going to take a big step up. I really like L.A. this year. So, yes, this AFC is, for lack of a better word, loaded.
Dave, if you were going to power rank the top five teams in the AFC, what does that look like now post-Julio Jones trade?
Chiefs, Bills, Browns, Titans.
Colts. Ravens?
Yeah. Oh, God, I forgot about the Ravens. Yeah, God, you could be a really good team and not make it to the postseason with 7 clubs this year in the AFC.
Yeah, Dave, I mean, you had 8 double-digit win teams last year, and you had one of them not make it to the playoffs. That would be the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
Who figured to be better this year.
And the Chargers are going to be better, and the Browns look like they're much better. Yeah, this is a terrifying AFC. All right, Santi. The floor is yours. 3 stars.
Today's 3 stars of DCR. Number 3.
Well, it was hard to come up with the 3 stars today, I got to be honest with you. But I think I'm going to give one to my buddy Ty back here because I kind of appreciate the way he says that he put his foot down in his marriage when it comes to naming the second baby, not the first baby, but the second one. And I'm curious if we can get a follow-up to this one. The second baby does come, Ty, at some point, if the word held true.
Absolutely. I got you, bro.
Can I jump into the future and give you the follow-up? No. And you're going to remove the 3rd star from Ty. He will not have name control over the second baby.
Yeah, I'll take the under on that one too, Dave. No way. There's no chance that's going to happen.
Look, I look forward to revisiting this conversation. That's all I'll say.
Number two,
Barkley Rothenberg, the remote stealing dog who's making Dave. I mean, the offer still stands about leaving the door open. I'm sure Rick would love to take Barkley off your hands for you.
Yeah.
Give him the Milo.
He can have Barkley. This beast stole the remote control on Friday as I'm just quietly watching the Yankees and the Red Sox and running around the house with the remote.
Taunting you.
Barkley, the remote retriever. How about that?
Did he leave teeth marks in it?
No, not that I saw.
They're very good about that breed.
Number one.
Listen, whoever's responsible for Rick's internet, cable, TV, all of it, I need that person to step their game up. I need that person to bring Rick back. I really missed him today. I think we missed him today, and I'm looking forward to having him back tomorrow.
Yeah, I guess we missed him. I think we did very well without him, though. And I don't understand how the number one star is to the person who runs the internet, which was completely ineffective.
Because that person clearly has
no
the power.
No sense! Rule 76.
No excuses. Play like a champion. It's Rothenberg, Canty, and
everybody
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.